All right, so let's look at our sixth and final session on raising godly kids in a godless society. In our last session, we looked at communicating with our children, and we said that the biblical approach to children, discipline of our children, involves two elements. Rich, full communication, and we tried to look at that at some level. And then what Proverbs describes as the rod. And we want to get into that and see exactly what is meant. So we're talking about a biblical approach to discipline, training of our children. What are the tools that God has given to us to be able to get to the heart of the child? Remember, we're trying... What we're desiring is not only compliance, but over time, we're seeking to shepherd the heart because we've learned that out of the heart flows the issues of life. So the words that are coming out of their mouth, the actions that they're taking, their reactions is coming from the heart. So if all we focus on is outward compliance, stop yelling, Stop being unkind to your sister. Stop throwing that. If that's all we're concerned about, then we're actually not parenting our children because we're not dealing with the issues that are producing those actions. So, number one, we must communicate with our children. Number two, we must use the rod, as Proverbs talk. So let's figure out what in the world is this all about. Proverbs chapter 22. Let's go to Proverbs 22, and then we're going to look at Proverbs 23. Look at 22:15. Proverbs 22:15. Folly or foolishness is bound up. Where is the foolishness, the folly, the error? Where is that stored in the life of our children? What does the verse say? You see it? It's bound up. It's all wrapped up. It's all packaged nicely in the heart of the child. So how do we get that folly, expose it, and how do we get it out? Well, one of the tools that God has given to us as parents is the rod of discipline. And that's what we talk about. The rod of discipline drives it far from him. So, biblical approach to children involves two elements, communication and the rod. Look at chapter 23, Proverbs 23. Look at verse 13. We ended with this, or we looked at this in the last session. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. So remember, we're talking this concept that the biblical writer is introducing or comes back to throughout Proverbs is this thing called the rod of discipline. Verse 26, my son, give me your heart, right? We looked at that. Verse 19, hear my son and be wise, direct your heart in this way. Verse 15, my son, if your heart is wise. Verse 16, when your lips shall speak what is right, I will rejoice, right? He's talking about the heart. And the tool, one of the tools that God gives to us as biblical parents, Christian parents, is called the rod of discipline. Now, there's many misconceptions, and you likely have some, about the biblical use of the rod. And maybe a term that I like to use is a biblical spanking. I like that because I think in our context the word rod could mean a lot of things, and depending on how you were raised or how you've been indoctrinated by our culture, you can think about this subject that we're talking about and have very negative initial responses to it because it's bringing ideas in your mind that actually are not even biblical. I know in I don't know how it is in some of the other language groups, but I know in the Bemba language, the word is to beat, right? In English, the word to beat someone is a very negative word. I mean, it has a lot of context to it. It's always seen as negative in English. And yet in Bemba, if my understanding is correct, it's just like the word that's used, it's the same. And it would have a much broader meaning than what we would say in English. So we want to be careful with the various languages and our various understanding of language that we really understand what Scripture is instructing us. So there are many misconceptions about the biblical use of spanking, because instead of spanking a child, a parent beats the child. Right? So to give a child a beating, and I'm using it in the English understanding of the word, is always wrong. We don't beat children. We don't beat other people. So we're not talking about, I know in some, my grandmother used to talk about giving you a hiding. I have no idea where that word came from. Anybody ever heard that? I'll give you a hiding. That was my grandmother. I think she meant a spanking. So lots of different terminologies. But somebody said, and I'll come to this, but what if I'm upset and I lose control and I actually become abusive to my child? I'm really afraid of that. So I don't think we should ever lay a hand on a child. We should never do anything. No corporal punishment of any kind. So because of these misconceptions, we may say, I would never want to do that. But to mistreat a child or to actually beat a child occurs when the parent has lost control through frustration. The parent is not in control of themselves. Or some people think that the use of spanking is something to control the action of the child through fear. So we use it as a weapon of manipulation. We use the threats, right? If you don't stop, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to whatever, right? You hear that a lot. I'm going to beat you. Look, this is not what Scripture is teaching. So we have many questions. What is the biblical use of spanking designed to accomplish? Is it necessary? Isn't there a better way? What is the idea behind it? Won't it make my child hate me? If I spank my child, won't he hate me for that? If I spank my child, aren't I teaching him also to hit other people? Right? I've heard all of these things. Yes? Sorry? All right, hold that question. Bring it back to me. Is there a count to spanking? So bring it back. Okay, don't lose it. I just don't want to touch it right this minute. So the culture in our world regards spanking and puts a biblical spanking in the same category as cruel and abusive behavior often. And I think Moema last night mentioned, what do I do about, I've got these people and they say that I shouldn't spank my child because if I do, maybe I can get arrested and it's abusive. Why? Because that's the common idea out there, right? They put biblical spanking in the same category as abuse. Is there abuse? Do people abuse children out there? Sure they do. There's a lot of abuse out in our world. Why? Because it's a sinful world. But when we talk about what we're talking about in this session is not abuse. We're not talking about abusiveness. We're talking about God's instructions for biblical discipline in the life of our children. So, how are we supposed to understand and think about this issue? All right, you have your notes. The first blank is the rationale. Let me write that up here. Rationale. I think it's E, right? The rationale, the reasonings, maybe is a better way of saying it. What is the rationale? What is the reasonings behind a biblical use of the rod or spanking? All right, look at Proverbs 23, verse 14. The writer says, if you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. That word Sheol is the realm of the dead. Now think about what he's claiming. What he's saying is, if you biblically spank your child, you are saving your child from death. You're saving his life if you spank him biblically. That is a big statement. Think about it. That's a big statement. So, remember, now go back to yesterday. I told you we're going to build. Stay with me. Please stay with me. If a child is born, as we saw yesterday, ethically and morally neutral, if that's true, and we said it wasn't, but if that's true, that they're neutral, that's the blank, by the way, neutral, then they don't need correction. They need information. If, in fact, a child is a blank slate, neither sinful or non-sinful, they're a neutral slate, and now you're going to start adding inputs into their life, right? Shaping influences, then all the child needs is more information, more instruction. If it's true that they're neutral. They don't need discipline, they need instruction. But here's what we saw yesterday, remember? Very clearly, children are not born ethically and morally neutral. There's the blank. I'm on number 2 under A. They're not born ethically and morally neutral. The problem of a child is not that they lack information. The problem is that they're a sinner. Who can read Jeremiah 17:9? Jeremiah 17:9. Who can squeeze over there really quick and read that for us? Who's going to do that one? I'm going to give out some other verses. Okay, Emmanuel, you find that one. Proverbs 29:15. Who can do that one? Proverbs 29:15. Sarah, you want to do that? Hebrews 12:11. Okay, Dorcas, you got that one. Proverbs 29:15 and 17. 29:15 and 17. Somebody, Simon, do you want to? Okay. James 1:20, Moima. It's going to be a few minutes, but I'll get there. And I've got Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4, George. Let me give out the rest of them. I got three more. Proverbs 13:24. Okay, Isaac. Proverbs 23:13 and 14. 23:13 and 14, patience. And Proverbs 29:17. Proverbs 29:17, Natalie, I saw that hand, okay? I got two more. Hebrews 12:5. I hope you people remember this. Fred, you got that one? And Mubiana, you get Hebrews 12:11. Hebrews 12:11. Okay, it's going to be a while before I get to you guys, so I have no idea who has what, but we will get there. Okay. So, what do we say? Children are not born ethically and morally neutral. The problem of the child is not that they lack information, rather that they are sinners. Jeremiah 17:9.
There are deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand?
Okay. Desperately sick. Some translations. Desperately wicked. The heart is wicked. That's the problem with my kids. And that's my problem too. The heart is wicked. That's what God says. Even in the book of Proverbs, this fool, right? He says, the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We read that a minute ago. Proverbs 22:15. The rod of correction drives that foolishness from him. The fool in Proverbs will not listen to reproof. The fool in Proverbs is someone who will not submit to authority. The fool in Proverbs is a person whose life is run by their own desires and their fears. Now think about it. The most common phrase of a three-year-old, I want. Mommy, I want. Take them to ShopRite. It's like the parent knows that aisle 6 is the candy aisle, and at all costs, they don't even go close to them. Because they don't want to battle the three-year-old, screaming and yelling. What's the problem? The problem is a problem of the heart. Because the fool in Proverbs will not submit to authority, he resists correction. Now think about it. Because our children are born sinners, they do not want to submit to authority. Therefore, they resist being corrected. They just naturally don't like it when you tell them no. They don't like that. You didn't teach them to not like it. They don't like it. Right? So you have a little baby, like the little one that just went back there. At that age, you can take a little cloth and wipe their face. No problem. But just wait. Wait. Wait till they're about 6 months or whatever, right? And now, it's a fight. Get a nice little warm cloth. They've got, you know, dried food around them. You know, you're just trying to wipe up. They fight. They're moving their head, right? I mean, they can't even talk. And the mom puts the cloth and then they go the other way. Why? Why are they resisting? Because they're sinners. They don't want to be cleaned and corrected. Now, I'm not saying that the child doing that is sinning, but I'm saying it's flowing from the nature that they inherited. Resisting. They're not like, okay, mom, since you're my authority, go ahead and wipe my face because I want to be submissive to the authorities in my life. Oh! Even from that age, they're fighting authority. They don't want you to do whatever it is that you want, they don't want. Now, she doesn't know why, he doesn't know why they're doing that, but they are showing a determination that they will not be ruled from without. They will rule themselves. Now, if you allow that, parents, if you allow that to take root, that little cute baby, if you allow that to take root in their life, by the time they're 14, 15, and 16, you have produced a rebellious teenager who will not allow anyone to tell them what to do. Okay, so the nature of the problem. Notice the function then of biblical spanking or the rod. Proverbs 29:15. Please read it. Yeah. The first half of that verse, read it again, a little bit louder. Yeah, a rod and a reprimand imparts wisdom. Listen, what is this whole thing we're talking about? We're talking about a biblical spanking is not a negative thing. It's actually something that imparts wisdom. An atmosphere is created in which instruction can be given and received. So a biblical spanking leaves a child compliant and ready to receive life-giving words. Hebrews 12:11. Okay, yeah, I'll come back to you at the end. You've got the one at the end. Sorry, I didn't realize it was the same one. Go ahead. Okay? No discipline in the moment feels good. But what is it? It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What's it saying? Discipline is painful in the moment, but it has a wonderful fruit in the end. Notice that it is part of the training. You've been trained by it. And that produces fruit that is a blessing. It's beneficial. By the way, all children... You hear your parents say, oh no, they'll grow out of it. It's a phase. Sin is not a phase. They don't grow out of sin. They just grow better at it. Proverbs 29, 15 and 17. Who's got that?
The road and the field give wisdom, but the child left himself brings shame to his mother.
Okay, and 17?
Correct yourself, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give
Okay? So correct your son, discipline your son, and he will what? Give you what?
Rest.
You know, parents, you know what this feels like. You're exhausted. You're like, I can't take these kids another minute. Somebody please rescue me. I have been with these kids all day. I don't have any more, man. I can't take it anymore. The rod and reproof gives you peace and rest. Some of us haven't had a lot of peace and rest for a long time. Because we're not using the tools that God's given us that provide that. I ought to be able to tell my 2-year-old to sit on the couch with a book and not get down for an appropriate period of time. Remember, childish? They're childish. So 20 minutes for a 2-year-old is like 2 hours for an adult, at least. Okay, so we understand the context. But I ought to be able to tell my 2-year-old, I want you to sit, it's quiet time. In fact, you should mention it. It's time for quiet time. You know what quiet time in our high class was? It wasn't about the kids. Because they were having lots. Quiet time, it was quiet. For the sake of mom. You want to comment on quiet time? Or what you did? Right? So, by the way, do you know, now we're talking about the little ones as they, even up to 6, 7, 8 years old, it's time for quiet time. When they got a little bit older and they could be on their own, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they can go to their bedroom for quiet time. They can read a book, they can play a game, they can do a puzzle, they can draw, but they can't make noise, no media, and they can't come out of their room for 30 minutes. Quiet time. Peace. How do you get there? You train your children. By the way, do you know, and all kids are different, okay? So I'm being very broad and flexible. But if you train your children in the way we're talking about, it's intentional. By the time they're 2 to 3, they can sit through a 2-hour church service and not make noise. I'm not saying they're not going to stand up a little few times and shuffle around. They're childish. But they're not making noise. They're not running through the church at 2 years old. You see, how do you get there? It's work. And it begins at home. It begins at home. It begins with a game. We're going to play the quiet game. For 5 minutes, you're going to sit here with this little plastic book and not going to get down. You're going to fight the battle, fight the battle. Now, did you understand I said don't get down? Now I'm going to spank you because you got down. 5 minutes becomes 10 minutes. Now quiet time is 20 minutes. Now quiet time is 30 minutes. What am I doing? I'm training my child at home to be quiet because we're going to go to church and you're going to sit there quietly. You gonna spank them? Yep. Why? Because they're disobeying me. I told them to be quiet. They know what quiet means. They know what I expect. I said, don't get down from your chair. You understood what that meant, but you got down anyway. I'm gonna fight those battles at home in little short childish steps, stretching it out until I get an hour. They're not being perfect angels for an hour, but they can sit. What do you think they're gonna do when they go to school? Whose job is it to train them? Me.
Her.
Right? Because she's spending most of the time with them while I'm off at work. Okay. The function of the rod. All kids don't eventually learn to obey. So, number 2, what is the rod? What is it? Number 2 is the word is the rod. A, it's a parental exercise. God does not, listen, I'm going to be a little controversial maybe, if you do with it what you want, but from a purely biblical perspective, God does not grant all adults to engage in corporal punishment of all children. Corporal punishment means spanking them, right? Disciplining them appropriately. God does not grant all adults to engage in corporal punishment of all children. In other words, your child is not my responsibility to spank at church. It's not my job. Sorry, that's your job. Number two, the rod is an act of faith. That's B, an act of faith. Can someone, I didn't give this one out. Can somebody read Psalm 23:4? Because here's the same word that we've been talking about, used in a different context. Psalm 23:4. Who can read that for us? No, sorry. That Psalm 23. Psalm 23:4.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort
me. Okay, so here's the 23rd Psalm. He's like, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with my good shepherd, and I'm not going to fear. Why? Because of your rod and staff. There's the word, the rod and staff. What in the world? And then he said, they comfort me. How does the sheep get comfort from a rod? Because it's the guarantee and the assurance that the shepherd's with them. I mean, if you're going through a dark valley, there's no lights, you don't have a torch, you can't see your hand in front of your face. This is a deep, dark valley to be afraid of. But I'm a sheep and I'm not afraid. Why? Because I feel the rod, which means my shepherd's with me. My shepherd's here. I can't even see him, but the rod. My shepherd loves me. My shepherd's with me. My shepherd's here to take care of me. Are we seeing it? This is the use of the rod. Do you want to know why a lot of times children act up and act out? Because they want to know if you really love them. Does daddy really care? Does he really love me? Does mommy really love me? Now, they're not going to say it like that. But when the rod is part of it, it doesn't drive them from you. It actually draws them to you. They know you care. That you just can't do anything you want. Why? Because daddy cares for me. Daddy's protecting me. Daddy loves me. So he's not going to just let me do anything. I've had parents tell me, no, you see, Pastor, I love my child too much to discipline them. You know what? I think you really believe that, but Satan has lied to you. Because you know what Proverbs says? Proverbs says that if you refuse to discipline your child, you hate him. You're saying it's love. God says it's hatred. Why? Because if you don't discipline your child, where does he end up? Hell, Sheol, premature death. That's what he said. So you want to tell me that's love? When you say, I love, so I'm not going to correct my child. I'm not going to discipline my child. But God says, if you don't discipline your child, it's actually hatred towards your child. You're damning your child's soul to hell. Now, I'm going to pull it together. Why is it that failure to discipline my child is damning their soul to hell? Because I'm in the place of God in their life. I'm not God, but I represent Him. They must submit to God's authority. Or they will one day stand before God as judge, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. I've been sent into their life as their parent to teach them to be under authority. The authority of God. The tool, one of the tools God's given me to help with that process is the rod. So while we say it's because we love them, it's a misunderstanding of both love and discipline. Okay, that's heavy, right? But do you see how this ties together? It's an act of faith because God has commanded it. The parent obeys, not perfectly, not understanding how it all works, but the use of the rod is an expression of confidence in God's wisdom and the excellency of his counsel. Number four, C, it's an act of faithfulness. Faithfulness toward the child, that's the next blank under number one. C is an act of faithfulness. Number one, faithfulness toward the child, that's the blank. Understanding that in discipline there is a hope that there is hope the parent refuses to take part in the child's death. That's what we were just talking about. It's an expression of love and commitment. That's the blank, commitment. I often spanked my children even when I didn't want to because I must be faithful to my God. I have to obey God. D, it's a responsibility. It is not the parent determining to punish. It is the parent determining to obey God. Did you hear me? The rod, biblical spanking, is not the parent determining to punish a child. It's the parent determining to obey God. It's the parent, as God's representative, undertaking on God's behalf what God has called him to do. I'm going to make some comments. When we get through these last two, you fill in the blanks. E, it's a physical punishment. The rod is a careful, you should underline that word, timely, should underline that word, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment. That's what the biblical rod is. It's not out of control. It's not abusive. It's not done through anger. It's not to cause pain because you're making my life miserable. I'm going to make your life miserable. That's not what it's. It's careful. It's timely. It's measured. So now I'm going to come to Mubiana. Should you, how did you say that? Should you count the spanking? So here's what I learned over time to do. Because I understood that I'm not punishing the child to cause them pain for my own benefit. I'm not getting back at you. You made my life miserable. Now, buddy, I'm going to make your life. That's not the motive. I'm looking for humility and compliance in the heart. So, I would go in. I'd send the child to the room. When I'm ready, I would go in. I would sit down. When they were younger, three, four, I did it from the time they were little. From the time that two, three, four, I would do it, even though I did it very, very briefly because I knew they don't understand much. But I would just say, I love you and I love God. God said, Jareth, you know, God said you have to obey mommy and daddy. God told daddy that if you don't obey mommy and daddy, I have to spank you. Daddy doesn't like to spank you. In fact, it makes me want to cry if I have to spank you. I hate it. But what does God say? Are you supposed to obey God? Yes. Is daddy supposed to obey God or disobey God? Obey God. Did you disobey? Yes. So what does daddy have to do?
Spank you.
Okay. So I'm going to spank you. And I'm going to give you, and I would tell him, I'm going to give you two swats. I'm going to give you three swats. I don't think hardly ever did I go past three in one setting. Now I did go past three, but I'll tell you a story about that. But I mean, three was severe, but they felt them. You say, what did you use? Well, look, there were times where, when they were little, and I didn't have any other option, I would use my hands. You got to do what you got to do in the moment, right? But we had a wonderful little in Shima spoon. Not little, I mean, it was proper, right? Appropriate. And I can't stir in Shima, but I can use it in Shima spoon. And I would, we go through that little routine. What am I doing? I'm training them. As they got older, I would actually open the scripture and read it to them when they got older. 7, 8, 6, 8, 9, I'd be reading the scripture. A lot more counseling from scripture. And I'd say, okay. And I'd pick them up, and I'd sit on the bed, I'd put them over my knee, and I would take the Enshima spoon, and if it was one slot, I'd get, rarely get only one, but two or three, and I would spank them. When they were babies, they had nappies. I would make sure that through the nappy they felt it. Doesn't take much. Right? I wasn't angry, I wasn't abusive. But they felt it. And you know how they felt it? Because they're screaming or they're crying, and the cry changes. It's a real cry now. Before they were just angry. Oh, but now? It's a real cry. Like, it's coming from the heart. You can tell. They're screaming, ah! Oh, no, you haven't gotten through at all. Not at all. I tell them, I would spank them, then I would wait for a few minutes. They were crying. Never let them scream. Why? Because the Bible says that they're to learn self-control. Cry, yes. Make noise, yes. Scream, no. Pick them up, put them in my lap, let them cry for a minute or two, and say, okay, I want you to be quiet. That's enough. I'm giving them hugs, that's enough. 2 years old, and they're trying. I'm giving them hugs. And they finally calm down, like, Daddy loves you so much. I hate spanking you. Please don't ever make me spank you again. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, please be with Tara. She needs your help to be a good girl and obey you. Help her to know that she's a sinner and that she needs to receive Jesus as her Savior, or she's going to die and go to hell. And it's going to be way worse than the spanking. So help us. Help Daddy to obey you and help Tara to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know every single time those little arms would go around my neck, she'd give me a bear hug around my neck. Daddy, I love you. I love you too. And guess what? It's over. We all go about life and everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. It's done. As they get older, now, I'll tell you, you got to break the will because you got to win the battles. You got to pick your battles, and you got to win them. Let me tell you one about one of my kids. I don't think he would care, but I want to tell you who it is. He's sitting at the breakfast table in the little high chair. Probably 2, 3? Not even three. And I'm feeding the breakfast. This is a breakfast this kid loves. I mean, the kid could eat. But today, Daddy's trying to feed him. Just looking at him like that. I mean, the lips are straight across. I mean, like, and I'm like, oh, come on now. I'm doing the airplane thing. Open up, here comes the airplane. So, we tried playing, and then that wasn't working. And I finally said, okay, son, I'm going to put that spoon to your mouth one more time. If you open your mouth, I'm going to spank you. Here comes the spoon. Put the spoon down, picked him up, put him over my knee, bam, bam. Two swap. Put him back, he's crying, felt it. And you're gonna do it, they need to feel it. Put him back in the high chair. Said, okay, now we're gonna eat. Put it, and he's even crying still. He's doing it. I said, open your mouth. I had no more warning. I picked him up, two more swats, put him back down. Got the spoon, tried to put it. He's crying. Wouldn't open his mouth. That went on. That battle went on. The child got 22 swats. I was crying. I was like, Lord, am I going to win this or not? You're good. Am I going to win this battle or not? They're like, do I give up? After the 22nd swat, two intervals. You can imagine how many times this happened. I put him down again. The other children say, please open your mouth. They're saying, please open your mouth. They're begging him. I bring the spoon back. He opened his mouth. He sucked that food down so fast, as fast as I could put it. Ate the whole bowl. And guess what? I'm not saying I never had a problem with that child again. I'm not saying that. Like, we never had ever have sang it again. But I'm telling you, it was a different child after that. What happened? In that particular case, I had a strong little child, and I'm not saying anybody else should do what I did. I'm just telling you what happened. And I'm so grateful that God finally opened the kid's mouth. But after that, he would listen to Dad. He would do whatever, pretty much. I mean, not that he was perfect or that he wasn't naughty. He never got any other spankings. He did, but we never had those issues ever again. Why? Because in that period, that was one of the battles. Battle for the will. And by God's grace, we won. What is the spanking? It's a tool to disciple our children. It's a rescue mission. That's F, a rescue mission. The child has sinned, distanced himself from his parents through disobedience. Spanking is designed to rescue the child from his continuing foolishness. All right, number three. Let's just quick. We're almost done. Let me just give you the other blanks. What the rod is not. It's not the right to unbridled anger. That's the blank. James 1:20. Yeah, see that? So the anger of man does not produce righteousness in the heart of a man. Ephesians 6:4. It's not the right to hit our children. That's not what a biblical spanking is. Ephesians 6:4. Okay. Number C, it's not retribution. That's the blank. It's not retribution. It's not a payment due for his sins. That's not what a spanking is. Right? When we view it in that way, rather than corrective, we're having without having the positive goal of restoration, then it becomes negative. Look, a convict pays his debt to society by going to prison. Biblical discipline is not that way. It's not a payment for his sin. It is a measure of correction so that you are actually moving someone from rebellion to submission to God. It's not, I'll show you, I'm going to punish you, you're going to feel the pain now. No. That's not the purpose of it. Now, there's objections to the rod. I mentioned this one. I love my children too much to spank them. Proverbs 13:24.
Whoever spares their own case is son, but he who loves me is diligent and disciplined.
Yeah. If you refuse to discipline your child, you actually hate him. That's what it says.
That's pretty clear.
Some other objections. I'm afraid I will hurt him. Proverbs 23:13. We've already read it. So whoever had it, I'm just going to go buy it. It says you can spank him with a rod. He's not going to die if you're doing it properly and biblically. Number four. I'm afraid it will make him. These are two blanks. Rebellious and angry. Who's got Proverbs 29:17?
discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart.
Okay. No, you're not going to make him rebellious and angry if you're doing it biblically. He's actually going to give you rest and bring you great delight. Some would say, well, spanking doesn't work. Usually, that's because perhaps we use the rod inconsistently. The child never knows what would bring a spanking and what wouldn't. So they're always testing the limits. Or because we fail to persist. We give up in discouragement too soon. Or we fail to be effective. We think we're spanking. By the way, this is not a spank. This is not a spank. Now, you say, did you ever slap the hands of your child? Once in a while. Right? I said, don't touch that. I might do that because I just, the hand is going out. But rare. Right? That's not a spanking. A spanking? Right? We have a lot of padding back here. And if it's properly done, it doesn't hurt anybody. There's no damage. Right? So, failure to be effective. Spanking on through the nappy and the child is moving all over. Never even knew he'd been spanked. So there are various objections. Or another way that it doesn't work is you doing it in anger. We already saw that in James. Look, the unrighteous anger of man never produces righteous hearts. What are the benefits? Let me give you these fill in the blanks. We'll read two scriptures and we're done. For questions and answers. What are the benefits? A, so the big number five benefits of the rod. A, it teaches the child there are inevitable outcomes to behavior. Okay, so the behavior. A proper biblical spanking for young children teaches the child there are inevitable outcomes. There are consequences for actions. Number two, it trains the child, we've been talking about it this whole seminar, to be under authority. Authority. C, it demonstrates parental love and commitment. Hebrews 12:5. Okay, so do not make light of the Lord's discipline, nor faint when you are rebuked by him. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Hebrews 12:11. Hebrews 12:11. Yeah. I mean, no pain of discipline is joyous in the moment, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So it yields a harvest of, that's the blanks, by the way. It yields a harvest of peace and righteousness. That's D. Did I give you C? Demonstrates parental love and commitment. D, yields a harvest of peace and righteousness. E, returns the child to the place of God's blessing. And F, promotes an atmosphere of closeness, that's the blank, and openness between parent and child. You know, when you don't discipline biblically, you stretch out the pain for days and weeks. You know who suffers when you ground your 8-year-old for a week in their room? It's pain for you. Why? Because it's not resolved. The issue wasn't resolved. Whereas if I just spank the child biblically, we're done in 30 minutes, everybody's happy and we go on with life. Oh, but no, you want to drag it out for a week. What are you thinking? Who wants to do that? Now, look, we get into the teen years. That's another seminar. Okay? But we're talking about the young people, right? We're talking about here, primarily. Communication and the rod are designed to work together. If you focus on only one of them, you'll be like a ship with all the cargo loaded on one side. You won't sail very well. There's a balance. Communication and biblical spankings for our young people. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. One more time. Read 5 and 6 loudly, Mr. Mugian. 12, 5 and 6. Listen to this. This is our final statement. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. Yeah. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. Be like your heavenly Father. That's the point. Your child needs to be known and understood. That's communication. And your child needs to be under authority, where the limits are clear and correction is predictable. And that's the rod. Okay. Question. Together with, as we work with the kids, right? It's very good. Very good observations. Thank you, Mama. That's great. Matthew?
Yes, how do you handle the aspect of culture?
Can you please
how do you handle the aspect of culture as you try to be a child?
Yeah. I think there's an application to our cultures that we come from, the opinions of others. How we communicate, we might you know, we might, for the sake of wisdom, speak to our child and deal with the issue later. Now, if mom-in-law is staying with me for weeks and months, I'm probably going to have to sit down with mom-in-law and just say, Mom, I just want to explain to you what we do in our house. Right? And I'm just going to have to take, I know, it's hard, right? I don't even begin to know how hard that is. But we're going to either have to obey God or man. Make the tough choice. Am I going to sacrifice the eternal destination of my children to please my culture? Now, if there's a wise way that we can negotiate that, great. But if there's not, okay, if it's your mother-in-law, you probably can't have that conversation. Your husband needs to. Okay? So you're going to be appropriate. But the husband better step up and go have the conversation. Is it hard? I don't even begin to know how hard it is. I have a different culture. We have our own cultural things that are hard. But we have got to be Christian, biblical parents. We've got to be consistent. And I'm not willing to sacrifice my children on the altar of the culture. I'm not willing. The culture has lots of opinions about how I should raise my children. But they're not the one dealing with the heartache when my daughters get pregnant and my kids are in prison. My boys are in prison. I'm being very extreme, obviously. But that's where it leads, right? Rebellion leads to death. They're not going to be there after they had all their opinions. And they're not going to stand before God to give an account of how I, as a Christian, raise my children. I am. So I'm going to try to negotiate it. I'm going to try to whatever. I'm not going to go and discipline them in public. I mean, she said yesterday how she's left the whole grocery cart, didn't even check out, left with the child, out to the car, go discipline the child, come back, hoping the cart of food's still there. That's a pain. But that's our call. So I don't have an easy answer for you, but I hope you hear the heart behind it. Wayne.
I suppose this question is to Lori.
Yes, please.
Both of you, actually. You've talked about spanking the children. I like using the word spanking.
As long as we're talking about the same thing, as well. God. So she's my representative when I'm not around. When I am around, I do it. So I hope that helped. Did you want to follow up with the question on that? Go ahead.
The issue of one spanking and let me say the fact
mother is watching, and then you see that maybe your partner, even one of you, is losing out, is now applying anger, no more discipline, how does the other one pop in to save the other one?
So first of all, with the spanking of the children, it should be one or the other. Rarely do, or should both be there. It's not a tag team. It's if she's dealing with it, even if I was home, if she was dealing with it, she would go in and deal with it. If it got beyond what she could handle, she could call me and I would go in. But that rarely ever happened. So it's not both of us are there. That's number one. Number two. If I had a concern, or she would have a concern, that I was being too harsh, then that is never something that is ever said in front of a child. You finish what's happening, you go, you say, honey, can we go and talk? We go to the bedroom, close the door, and we talk. And we did that sometimes. Not because of harshness, but just disagreement over what we should, how we should handle something. Never in front of the children. As far as the children were concerned, we were in 100% agreement all the time. They could never use one against the other. Never. My kids never saw that I disagreed with her. Did I disagree? Sure. Did she disagree with me? I'm sure. Yes, absolutely. But kids never knew that. We talked about that behind closed doors. They couldn't be, Mommy said, blah, 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 blah. Who said? Mommy. Done. If Mommy said it, it's like Daddy said it. Go do it. Now, I might not have agreed, and we go like, hey, let's go talk about this, and next time, let's not do that. But she's got my 100% support. I've got her back. She's got my back. 100%, even if she doesn't agree in front of the kids. Yes.
So, I remember there's a time with my older son, he's 14 now, but he had a spanking from his dad when he was maybe about 7, and it was the first time that Leon actually spanked him.
Wow.
And when he spanked him, he peed himself. And because he was so scared. And then Leon was like, that's it, I'm never going to hit my son again.
Yeah.
And so from that time, it's like, I'm the one who's always bringing the discipline.
So bring Leon to this session next time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think you can make application from what we're talking about, that it is a team sport, right? It's raising kids as a team. And as I say that, it's a team if there's mom and dad in the house. I grew up in a home where there's only mom. So it wasn't a team sport. She had to do it all. God's providence, their families, or maybe the child is just with the dad. God gives grace. But where there's two, it ought to be as though it's one.
Okay, look, I know people are going. Please, you can go. It's fine. It's 1:22. Let's give about 3 more minutes, and then we'll close.
I think just a suggestion. When you're learning this kind of stuff, and you maybe want to make changes in your home, if your kids are old enough to sit down and say, hey, you know, I have failed. I've learned some things, and I have failed. And we want to start doing things differently. Because
teaching them, showing them from Scripture.
Because all of a sudden, I remember my mom going to a seminar and came back and she decided she was going to implement all this stuff, you know. I mean,
like, what happened to my parents?
But I mean, if you explain to them that, you know what, I haven't been parenting the way I should, and this is, from now on, this is by God's grace, this is how I want to be, want to start, not where all of a sudden you're going to spank them and they've never been spanked in your life, or, you know, where... Yeah. I mean, obviously, your daughter is young enough, it's not going to really matter, but older kids,
yeah.
we're drawing the line.
And Ronnie and I were talking in the break. If you're starting to see some biblical principles and you want to implement them, and your child is 6, 7, 8, 3, 5, whatever, look, you're going to have to pick your battles. You can't win the war if you've not been biblically disciplining your child and your child is out of control. Your child is the ruler of their own life, and now you're going to draw a line in the sand. Let me tell you, you're going to fight a war. You're going to fight a war. Pick your battles. Don't fight on every front. Pick your battle, and whatever you pick, be consistent. I mean, speak once. That's it on that one issue. Because by winning that battle, it will set you up for winning other battles. I wanted to comment, speaking of that, on the thing of speaking, right? When God speaks to us, we are to what? Obey. Remember, you're speaking in the place of God. This is why I would not continue to repeat myself. I want my children, when they hear the voice of God, thank you, see you. All right, when I hear the voice of God, when they hear the voice of God, that they obey immediately. So I'm going to teach them to obey. Speak once. And I'd have a family council and say, okay, look, I've been doing this wrong. From now on, I'm going to speak once and expect that you obey. Why do that? I mean, right now you're speaking five times and they're obeying. Why not do it once? Why? Because I want to teach them that when they hear the voice of God, they immediately obey Him. So, okay, we have to shut this down. Natalie, last one.
Yeah. So in terms of spanking, and now that they are a bit older, do we now evaluate the sin with a mistake that they did that deserves, like, okay, you did this, so you have a talk with them, but then if it's something severe that requires a spanking, then you spank them?
I think so. I think there's a transition that you're making here. In my view, by the time they get to adolescence, which would be different for different kids, but by the time you get to 11, 12 years old, if you've been following this from the beginning, you're pretty much, your spanking days are over. Why? Because as they mature, you're now practicing. This was the authority stage. This is the practicing stage. And then now in the teenagers, you're on the sidelines calling plays. They're out there playing the game, for good or bad. There's still discipline, but there's other things that you're going to have to use. Spanking is for when they're young. It's for when they're the clay is still moldable. There's nothing in the Bible that says a certain age, but I personally, teenagers, I wouldn't be spanking my teenagers. I mean, my mom spanked me as a teenager, but she'd done it so much that I was willing, as a teenager, to submit to her when I could have turned around and grabbed the towel from her hand. I'll show you what spanking is. I could have, but I didn't because I respected her and she had been. But that's unadvisable. I wouldn't do that. If you haven't been doing that, then you're going to have to fight battles. It's going to be more difficult for you. You're going to have to fight battles and trust God in different ways. That's a different seminar. We have to close.
Just adding to what you said, my experience, my 20-year-old, I tried to smack her when she was about 15. At that time, she was slightly taller,
yeah,
slightly my height. Oh, gosh, she grabbed my arms.
Yeah. So remember the purpose of it, right? Remember the purpose of spankings, the purpose of discipline. It's to bring him under the authority of God. It's a tool. So there's probably a lot of questions. I'm happy I'm around. We can talk. We can talk off-site in the future. Thanks for your patience, and we went over a little bit. But it was your fault because you guys wouldn't stop by. No, it's my fault as well. But I hope it's been beneficial. I hope that we're going to take something away. Simon, would you please pray a prayer of commitment for all of us as we try to see before God how to implement some of the things that we talked about? Would you do that?
Oh, dear God, I pray.